You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
We begin tonight with a reading from the book of Rasheed Wallace. Ball don't lie. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I am your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down the Green Bay Packers' heart-stopping, blood pressure rising. If you shit your pants multiple times late in the fourth quarter, you are definitely not alone. 30-28 win over the San Francisco 49ers at Levi's Stadium on Sunday night, a game played before the nation on NBC Sunday Night Football. We were waiting all day for Sunday night, and it did not disappoint. With the win, the Packers improved to 2-1 on the season and find themselves all alone in first place in the NFC North. The Chicago Bears, I'm again just doing this just to make fun of the other teams in the division mostly. The Chicago Bears lost to the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. The Bears put up one net passing yard on that one, So the Justin Fields era... Well, it's not off to a great start. The Minnesota Vikings also are at 1-2 after they hammered on the Seattle Seahawks at home. I can't really talk shit about the Vikings. After that one, they looked good. I was kind of impressed. The Seahawks, boy, the Seahawks do not look at all like the team that we're used to seeing as Packers fans. They look bad. It looks like they're on the down for sure. The Vikings kind of really hammered them. And the Lions, you know, I got to say, man, I do feel bad for the Lions. You probably know by now, they lost to the Baltimore Ravens. Justin Tucker hits the game winner at the buzzer. Not just any game winner, a 66-yard field goal to win it. The longest field goal in NFL history. That's not even enough. A kick that doinked off the crossbar, flung up into the air, and flipped back through. I gotta say, when it hit the crossbar, initially as it was coming up, I thought that it was gonna fall forward and the Lions were gonna win. And then as it kept rising, I was like, nope, that's gonna flip back through. I just feel bad for the Lions. I do. I feel bad for them. I don't even want to laugh at it. It's like laughing at a homeless person. Why? What is the point? Why would you mock or make fun of a homeless person? Like, it's just a dick. It feels like it's a dick move almost to make fun of the Lions at this point. Which I'm sure Lions fans hate. They probably would prefer that we could make fun of them. But it feels bad. It feels like a low blow, and I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry for you Lions fans. I feel bad. It's just one tragedy after another. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make fun of them. You know what? I think most Packer fans felt that way. I think everybody just feels bad for the Lions. It's pity, you know? Okay. So, before we get into the fun, I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least. Really quick, before I do that, I'm just going to be honest. I have absolutely no script. Even at most night games, I'll do kind of a rough outline. I have nothing. I have a few bullet points that I want to get to. Which I wouldn't even consider an outline. I have nothing. This is all off the cuff. I'm just going to try to capture the fucking spirit of the thing tonight. The mood that everybody is feeling after this awesome Packers win. Hopefully I can accomplish that. But before I do that, the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, LempsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating. 5 stars, 4 stars, those are the best. Comment if it's positive, I would like to hear that. We're on Spotify, you can find us by searching for Packers Talk. Look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. I'm sure Vince is very proud looking down on what he saw tonight. And we're on the iHeartRadio app too, so you can look for us there. And if you find us on any of those, just hit subscribe. Just hit subscribe, then the shit just gets delivered right to you. You don't have to go search for it. We, the podcast dealers, we come right to you. What a deal, right? It's free. Just hit subscribe. That's what I would do. That's just me, though. Okay, now that we done got that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about this awesome Packers dub. What an awesome win, a signature win for head coach Matt LaFleur. Had people saying, he saw some people saying it's his best win, best regular season win as head coach of the Packers. I mean, it's certainly up there. You know, you think the Tennessee game last year in December where they just beat the shit out of the Titans on Sunday Night Football at home in the snow, that comes to mind. Sure, there are some others, but that was the first one that I thought of. Although this one's right up there. This is certainly, you could make a case this was his best regular season win. It's one of his best two or three for sure. An awesome win. And just, you know, we'll get into kind of the nuts and bolts. I just want to overview quick. It was a big, they needed this, man. They needed to show that they could go into San Francisco. I said last week on the show that they had struggled there in recent years. I compared it to something from a Rob Zombie movie. I completely forgot that they won there last year. But that team, you know, that San Francisco team last year was already beat to shit. Was it Nick Mullins was the quarterback? I don't even remember who the quarterback was. I think it was Nick Mullins. Whoever it was not great. I mean, that was a skeleton crew for the Niners. I don't even consider that in there, you know? I was talking about for the Packers to go out there and get a win against a legitimate San Francisco team playing at full strength or mostly full strength. They needed to prove to themselves that they could do it, and they did that tonight. They fucking went out there. They played San Francisco at their... And I think they beat San Francisco at their own game, too. More on that as we go along. But they needed to show that they could play a big, physical, tough team like San Francisco and go toe-to-toe with them and win. And not just... And fuck a moral victory, you know? When San Francisco went up late, you know, they went up 28-27 late in the game. You know, I was thinking, well, it'd be easy for some people to say, well, you know, they basically no-showed their last two legitimate trips to San Francisco back in 2019. They had no-showed those and gotten run out of the building, and, like, at least they showed they could go toe-to-toe with them even if they didn't win. And I was like, fuck that. They need to win this game. They outplayed San Francisco. That's why I quoted Rashid in the beginning, right? Ball don't lie. If you don't know, that was Rashid Wallace's infamous quote. I think it was he with the Pistons at that point? When Rashid said that, he was talking about the instance of, like, if a basketball player is fouled and it's a questionable call, but he goes to the line and misses one or both of his free throws. It's like the universe evening things out, basically saying, you didn't deserve to get these free throws anyway, so we're writing things and saying you missed. We're going to have you miss because you didn't deserve to be there in the first place. That's what I mean by ball don't lie. Because the Packers, they outplayed San Francisco tonight. I think they outplayed San Francisco most of the game. But a few, you know, they made a few mistakes and they got a lot of help from the officials. If you're like, Chris, are you going to hammer on the officials? Fuck yeah, I'm going to hammer on the officials. They got a lot of help from the Zebras tonight. A lot of help that San Francisco, frankly, did not deserve. You know, because I think the Packers were outplaying. You know, if it's a close game, the refs would call, that sucks. But you go, well, they played well. I didn't think they deserved those calls. They weren't playing that well. The Packers were outplaying them. So that's what I mean when I say ball don't lie, you know. The Packers deserved this win, and they got it. Fuck yeah, they got it. I'm fired up. It's 11:50. I don't care. I am fired up. Let's do this. So let's talk about the... Let's go back again, because I have very few... It's like, my notes are literally like, talk about the offensive line. So, let's set the scene here. Let's do a little PBP, a little play-by-play here. San Francisco scores, right? Pass from Garoppolo to Juszczyk. He's in for the score. 37 seconds left. San Francisco gets their first lead of the night, 28-27. How are you feeling? Packers have no timeouts. How are you feeling? I personally was thinking it didn't look great, but I wasn't willing to say it's over, and I'm usually one of the first people that in that spot would be like, it's over, but I had a feeling, I was like, I can't quite say this is over. I said to my wife, I'm not there. I can't say that this game is for sure over, because the Packers had played well. They had made some mistakes, which we'll get to, but they played well. The offense had played pretty well. You know, Rodgers was playing really well for most of the night, you know? And I thought, the way he's playing and the way Devontae's playing, thank goodness he was back after that hit. Oh, I'm going to talk about that. I thought 37 seconds is not much, and they don't have any timeouts, but I'm like, well, they're at the 25. You know, it's not, San Francisco's not like a notoriously tough place to kick. I trust Crosby, as I think most of you do. I think all of us do. I'm going, well, if they can get out to about the 35, they'd have a shot. I'm going, well, that's what, 40 yards? 40 yards in 37 seconds? That doesn't, with Rodgers, that's not impossible. You know, so I wasn't going to say that it was over. And right off the bat, Rodgers showed why I was right to think that. He hits first play of the drive, goes deep to Devontae, gets it out to the 50-yard line. Packers run up and spike it, 20 seconds left. Now, that play, first of all, I want to talk about the offensive line on that play, because Rodgers could have sat back there and drank a cup of coffee. He had all day to throw. And with the Niners sitting back in that kind of prevent zone that they were playing, you give a guy like Rodgers enough time in that spot. I mean, and Devontae, Christ, he's going to find the soft spot in the zone. And he did. And he went up and got the ball and came down with it. So that play right away, I'm going, okay. I'm like, all right, you know what? Now I really think that they can steal this one here at the end, because, you know, you're at the 50. There's 20 seconds left. Now, you don't have any timeouts. But I'm going, they only need 15 yards. And I'm thinking, like, it's okay. You can get 15 yards and have enough time to spike it. You're going to be fine. Even when he was incomplete to Adams and it set up the third down, I still wasn't that worried. I know, I'm like, okay, there's 16 seconds left. It's third and 10. I'm like, I think they'll be all right. I they just got to get one. You know, and I think everybody on the planet knew he was going to go to Devontae. And he did again, and Devontae came down with it. They run down and spike it. 3 seconds left. Crosby comes in to win it from 51. Now, I felt pretty good. I felt pretty good. It was funny. Did you catch it when Rodgers spiked it with 3 seconds left? He turned into the fist pump. It was like, fuck yeah. I think he felt pretty good about it. And I did too. And I'm sure a lot of you did too. I was like, I just trust Crosby. You know, he's been there forever. I say on the show, how much of your life have you lived? Do you ever think about how much of your life you've lived with Mason Crosby as kicker of the Packers? It's incredible. He was drafted by the team. His rookie year was my final semester in college at Minnesota. You're welcome for Devondre Campbell, by the way. That was my final semester. So, think about how much, and I'm going to be 40 in 2 weeks, and I'm married with twin boys. Like, that's a huge chunk of my life I've lived with Mason Crosby. He doesn't last that long unless he's good. You know what I'm saying? So I go, I felt good. I'm like, I think he's going to make this. And with Crosby, I always feel like you can tell right away within the first 10 yards after he kicks it. As soon as it left his foot, I'm like, okay, he lined it up right. I'm like, I just hope he has a distance. And as it was nearing it, I'm like, that's going in. I felt pretty good. Didn't quite do the Al Bundy turn and yell, streak! But, I'm dating myself with that reference. But, you know what I mean? Like, I felt pretty good. And he nailed it, and I lost my mind, and I definitely was dropping some F-bombs on Twitter. What did I say for the league and for San Francisco to eat my ass? Well, I stand by that, though. I'm not backing off that. They should. So he nailed it, you know, and it was great. And then they, you know, and how great do you feel for me? How much do we love Mason Crosby? I just fucking love the guy, you know? I hope he could kick for the Packers forever. I just love him. He's been through a lot in his life the last few years, and it's just, I don't know, there's just something about the guy. We all kind of hold him in very high regard. And Rodgers and Adams, I mean, what a lethal, that's the best quarterback wide receiver combo on the planet. I don't care, Mahomes to Hill or whoever else you want, no, the best is 12 to 17. That's the best. And I've said before, you know, we don't know what the future holds. I still think this will probably be Rodgers' last year. It feels like it's going to be Adams' last year in Green Bay. And I know there's a lot of questions about the future and everything. And I said on the preview, I hope that we could put that aside at least at certain points in the year and go, like, just admire it for the pure beauty that it is, that connection, that chemistry. You know, tonight I think is the night we have to do that. We don't have to worry about the future tonight. That was just awesome. I mean, they were fucking brilliant. What was Adams' stat line? 12 catches, 132 yards, and a score. You know, Rodgers, 22 of 33, 261 yards, Two touchdowns, no picks, 7.9 yards per attempt. Not quite as great in the second half as he was in the first half. We're going to get to that too. But that connection was beautiful. It's just, it's a thing of beauty to watch those two. You know, and I don't, again, you never know what the future holds. We may never see anything like this again as Packer fans. So you have to, for a minute, just go, don't worry about what's going to happen in March. Let's talk, let's just watch now and appreciate it. And I hope we did that. I hope you all did that tonight. I know I did. And you know, a lot of their brilliance wouldn't have happened. I'm so excited to delve into this next part. So much of their brilliance came because of the offensive line. What a performance from the offensive line tonight. I think all week we thought it was going to be Billy Turner moving over to left tackle. And they'd keep Runyon, Myers, Newman on the interior. My son, Royce Newman, who Rogers after the game, I think, has press, what did he call him? Wildman 70. I like that. I'm going to steal that. But most of them, I'm just going to keep calling him my son because that's how I view him. And then, maybe someone should tell him that. And then Dennis Kelly, I thought, would slide up in right tackle. So when it broke this morning, I think it was Rappaport that reported it, that Yosh Nijman was going to make the start at left tackle. Like, a lot of people were surprised and nervous. But I'll tell you what, I really wasn't. And I said on Twitter as much, it wasn't what I expected, but it makes sense. You know, Nijman had the rough first preseason game. Then I thought he played pretty well the next two. Got better as camp went on. You know, showed that he had some real ability. And I go, like, they've kept him around this long. They must think he's worth a shit. So, sink or swim. And yeah, it's going to be tough going against Nick Bosa, who's one of the best, you know, three or four pass rushers on the planet. But, like, if you think he's worth a shit, then let's give him a shot. And he, I'm talking about the line as a whole, but Nijman, to me, was really outstanding tonight. Now, he had some help. They didn't really give him help on that first drive. It looked like it was, I even said after the first drive, they either had to start giving him some help on occasion or get ready to go to plan B, which I thought was Turner at left tackle, Kelly at right. Because I'm like, you can't leave him on an island against Nick Bosa. That's insanity all night. And they did it. They started chipping. You know, DeGuara was in on some stuff. Tanyan laid Bosa out at one point. Search that one out on social media if you haven't seen it yet. He just snatched Nick Bosa's soul. Drove him into the ground. They gave him some help, which he needed. But he didn't always have help, and he played well. The one play I want to highlight, the touchdown to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MVS as we call him here on the show, that he was, go back and look, he's one-on-one with Bosa. And he, that was textbook. The way he got his feet off the, he got his quick feet off the line and was able to fan Bosa past Rodgers. Rodgers had space to then step up and deliver the ball into the end zone to MVS for the score. I mean, that was a thing of beauty. I must have rewatched that during commercial breaks. I probably rewatched that play three or four times in the commercial break on Twitter because people posted the video of it. It was textbook from Nijman. You know, he battled his ass off. And the rest of the offensive line was great, too. I mean, think about how young these kids are. John Runyon at left guard, sixth-round pick, second year in the league. Josh Myers, rookie, making his third start. My son, Royce, making his third start. And then Billy Turner, you know, Packer fans kind of shit on him a lot, I think, that first year. But he has quietly, the last year and three games, he has quietly been really good. Really solid play from Billy Turner. And you got that again tonight. That group, I mean, look at San Francisco. You want a stat? Rodgers was hit. Are you ready for this? Twice. He was sacked once and hit twice. Against that 49er front with Bosa, who obviously we all know. But I mean, Armstead is a stud. Kinlaw is looks like he's turning into a stud. I mean, they're loaded up front. Not even to mention their linebackers like Warner, but that D-line is, I mean, that's fearsome. And the Packers' offensive line just did the damn thing. It was great. I don't even know what to say about that effort. You think about it, Nijman. There are teams in the league. There are a lot of teams that don't have one left tackle. You guys, the Packers have three. Bakhtiari, Jenkins, and now Nijman. They look like they got three of these guys. Studs at the most important positions in the game has been a huge part of the Packers' success under Matt LaFleur, particularly under Matt LaFleur. And again, Nijman played, I thought, stud-like tonight. I thought he was really good. And I don't even care if Pro Football Focus doesn't agree with me. Because I saw it. I saw what he did tonight against Bosa and the other those other guys. He played well. And everybody else did too. Game balls for all of them. Hopefully they go to, what, Republic Chop House? And down there. I think they just go pig out after this one tomorrow night. Because they have earned it. We talked about Rodgers, Adams, Crosby. We're going to talk about... I can talk about the defense. You know, the defense... Okay, so we'll get to the refs. The defense in this... The first half, first of all... They were really good in the first half, the defense. Really, really good effort in the first half. It wasn't as good in the second half. Now, they, again, were put in some tough spots by the refs, but they struggled. The tackling, I think the tackling in the second half was probably as bad as it's been all year. The tackling, actually, the defense hasn't been great the first two games, but their tackling has been fairly crisp. Tackling wasn't very good in the second half. My guy Jair, now he had the great pick in the first half, sprinting all the way from his corner spot back to center field to pick that ball off, and then almost ran it in for a score. But he got beat on the one touch, the touchdown to Ayuk that made it 17-14. Didn't think that was great coverage from Jair on that. So bad, so not as good, the tackling wasn't as good, the coverage wasn't as good, you know... The pass rush, now, I did think the pass rush was fairly solid throughout. The Packers, what, had four sacks tonight? That's a season high. They had four sacks. I mean, you know, it was good. Preston Smith had a sack. Preston Smith, I want to talk about him when I talk about the pass rush because he has done an awesome job stepping. He and Gary collectively. But, I think, because Gary, what did Gary finish with? Did he have, he had a half a sack. Now, Preston, on top, I think everybody, we were all expecting Gary to take a step there. So him playing well so far hasn't been a huge surprise to me. I think there were a lot of question marks on Preston. I know I talked a lot about, I thought he was going to have a bounce back year, and he has. He's noticeably slimmer. He got his burst back. He's flying off the edge. The Preston Smith from 2019 is back now. And he was good. The pass rush, I thought, was fairly solid throughout. You know, talk about some other points about the day. I can't wait to start screaming about the referees, but I want to hold off on that as long as I can. I don't really want to, I mean, I have some build up for that. Let's see who else, you know, I thought the D-line, I got to credit the D-line. San Francisco, I think we all thought that San Francisco was going to come in and do what they did to the Packers in 2019, which is just line them up and go, we're bigger, we're stronger, we're tougher, and we're going to run the ball right down your throat. And they kind of tried, but couldn't really get anything going. The Packers, what, they had 67 yards total on 21 attempts? 3.2 yards per carry? I mean, that's really good. The D-line was really good, noticeably really good. Kenny Clark, I mean, we all expect Kenny to be a stud because he is. And he showed that again tonight. But I want to talk about other guys. Dean Lowry was noticeable tonight. Got after the quarterback, was noticeable in the run game. Tyler Lancaster was noticeable in the run game and in the pass rush. TJ Slayton had half a sack. Like, you noticed the D-line really kind of stepping up. That was great to see. That was huge. That's an underrated part of the game tonight. We talked about the Packers. You know, the offensive line, I think, will get a lot of credit. But they were able to... The big reason why they won this game and outplayed San Francisco for such a good chunk of it was... They were better in the trenches in San Francisco, which I don't think anybody saw coming. Even the most positive Peter or the most positive Pauly Packer fan, I don't think could have seen that coming. They were better in the trenches in San Francisco tonight. They played a strong man game tonight and won. That you can't even say what that means for the team going forward. Because if there's been a knock on this Packer team, you know, particularly you think about the playoffs last year and then San Francisco, both those games, they kind of got pushed around. You know, they kind of got bullied and showed that they could be, I don't know about soft, but for lack of a better word, soft at times. Tonight, they were not soft. In any stretch of the game, they played fucking hard and battled and showed that they could play, again, a strong man game, a tough guy game. That, as big as the win is, that's just as big that they can come out of this with, that come out of this tonight knowing that about themselves. They proved that to themselves. Forget whatever we think. They proved that to themselves tonight. They know now. We can play a tough man game and win. That's big, man. That is so huge. And I'll tell you what, it would have been a real shame if the fucking refs had stolen this one from the Packers tonight, because it was heading that way. And I'm not a guy who traditionally likes to scream a lot about the refs, but it was, I mean, holy shit. I joked on Twitter in the second half that I thought No Neck Nunzio from Jersey was making some of these calls for the officials in the second half, that he was the one in their ear, because it, I mean, it kind of had that feeling, you know, I don't want to say rigged, but I mean, here, I'll give you a see. Okay, so here's where my mindset was, and I'm guessing I'm not alone on this. So the Packers go up, what is it, 21? Okay, so it's 24-14 after the touchdown to MVS. This is a good place to start with the refs, and we'll backtrack, but let's start here. They're up 24-14, right? Sacks on first and second down of Garoppolo, third and 14 of the San Francisco 15. Get a stop here. 13:27 to go in the game after the Packer touchdown. So there's about, what, like 12 minutes left? Third and 14 of the San Francisco 15. Get a stop here. Get off the field. Get Rodgers the ball back, a good field position. Let's go down. Let's drive the fucking final nail in the coffin and get out of here. Garoppolo goes deep downfield to Ayuk, and they call defensive pass interference on Eric Stokes. I rewound that. I don't know what they called. That was not pass interference. That was a bad... I mean, even when Al and Chris are like, you know it's a bad call. That was a bad call. That was a terrible call from the refs. I don't know what that was. But that keeps the drive alive, right? Okay. So now they're into Green Bay territory. And San Francisco, and I can't think of the guy who caught it. I'm drawing a blank. It's late. You know, he catches the ball. Clearly, the ground aided the catch. I don't know what Terry McCauley was talking. What was he watching? That ball was hit. That the turf aided that catch. LaFleur challenges it. That should have been overturned. No. And you could see, I knew when the ref was talking to LaFleur, and LaFleur kind of turned his head and was like, oh, horseshit, or whatever he said. I'm like, I can't even believe this. This call's going to stand. And it did. So San Francisco finishes that drive out. Trey Sermon punches it in from the 1, 24-21 Packers, 7:48 to go. So now if you're like me, you're going like, oh my God, like, now you start thinking like, some of these calls, like, is this game rigged? And then you start thinking about the line, and you go, it was San Francisco -3.5. If the Packers don't score here and the Niners go down and score, that's 28-24. That's 4 points. That means anybody who bet San Francisco to win and cover would make their money. Like, and I hate that I had these thoughts, but I know there's no way I'm alone on that. Judging by the people reacting, agreeing with me on Twitter, I know I wasn't. You go like, is this game rigged? Are they trying to have San Francisco win and cover? Because that's some of those calls, it felt that way. And that wasn't, and we weren't even done. There's more, right? Packers next drive. Rodgers goes deep on the first play to Adams in double coverage, incomplete. Devontae is rocked. That should have been a helmet-to-helmet hit on a defenseless receiver. Even now, even though they won, my blood is starting to boil. I'm still mad about this. I think that's why LaFleur... I said, hey, I don't know if you've seen this, but you know how he and Shanahan are supposedly like best bros, best buds or bros or whatever. It was a very, very icy handshake after the game. It was very like, they didn't even really stop. He just kind of quick handshake, patted him. Good luck, Matt, or good game, Matt. Or good game, no, it's Kyle. It was like, good game, Kyle. Good luck, or whatever. It was like, he said like one thing to him and kept walking. I don't know if Shanahan said anything, because the view I saw was from, all you could see was Shanahan's back. But very icy. I think LaFleur was really pissed about the officiating in this one and was like, yeah, we won, but like, it shouldn't have been that close. And you know what? He's right. And I love that he was mad about it. That's my head coach. Plus, I think he's still mad. Quick tangent. I think he's still mad about it. I think he knows that Shanahan and John Lynch were tampering with Rodgers this offseason. Yeah. I think he was mad about it. I think, you know, he tried to play nice in the press conference, you know, in his meetings with the media last week. Oh, no, Kyle's one of my great friends. Everything's fine. I don't think it is. I think there's a lot of bitterness and static, and I don't blame him because I think the 49ers did tamper with Rodgers, and that's bullshit. So that and the refs, I think it was just... But I love that he was mad and he won. I was like, that's my head coach. That was good. So, back to the Adams thing. They hit Adams, should have been helmet-to-helmet on a defensive receiver. What are these rules in place for? Can someone fucking explain this to me? What these rules are in place for to protect defenseless players when a defenseless player gets rocked helmet-to-helmet on that and is laying there on the turf and the refs are like, I didn't see nothing. What is that? And they said something, McCauley said something about the way the cameras are set up or the way they fix. It's bullshit. All this talk about we care about players and here's an incident where you could really make an example out of a guy and they don't. Like, screw you. I'm still mad about that, even though they won. I can't even imagine how I'd be if they lost. I don't even think I would have been able to do the show. Because it would have just been nothing but cursing. But anyway, so there's that. And then, you know, the Packers kind of become their worst enemy after that, but we'll get back to that in a minute. Then, they punt. Now the Niners have the ball again. Again, now, we're already thinking, what is there's something fishy going on here. They call Jair for roughing the passer. Did you see? That was roughing the passer? The ball had barely left Garoppolo's hand, and he just shoved him. That was a ridiculous call. And then the tripping call on Amos. Are you kidding me? I mean, he tripped him, but like Alan Chris said during the game, they call that like 3 times a year. You can't call that in that spot to keep a drive alive? Come on, man. Terrible work from the officials. Terrible work. And then we go back to... Is that it? Oh, then we talk... And then I want to talk about backtracking now. The missed intentional grounding call on Garoppolo at the end of the first half. Second and goal at the one. Preston Smith, heavy pressure, forces an incomplete. If that's not, again, if that's not intentional grounding, what do you have a rule in for intentional grounding? What is it for? What's that for if you're not going to call it there? There was nobody in the air. He was still in the tackle box. There was no receiver there. I don't even know if it got past the line of scrimmage. If it did, it was by a foot. By the spirit of the law, spirit of the rule, that's intentional grounding. That should have been the end of the half. And it wasn't, and San Francisco got the points, which is why LaFleur... You could see the video. What did he say to the refs? You cost us 7 fucking points. I mean, he did. And they did. That was a terrible call. So just really shitty, spotty officiating all night. God, I'm sure I'm missing some stuff, but I'm 32 minutes in. It was just terrible, you know? Really a pathetic effort from the officials tonight. So for the Packers to overcome all of that and still win is awesome. Now, the Packers were not perfect. There were some mistakes tonight, some self-inflicted wounds that they're going to have to work on. Let's go in order here. Starting with the bad snap by Myers on the 4th-and-1 at the San Francisco 3 with the Packers up 10-0 early in the second quarter. Now, what would you have done there? I am certainly known for being conservative in those spots. If you follow me on Twitter, I would have kicked. I would have gone up 13-0 and just said to San Francisco, it sends a message, we're getting points one way or the other every fucking time we go down the field. Good luck stopping us. Thought it was a little early to chase points. I know the math probably says to go for it, but math was never my strong suit anyways. So, you know, I would have kicked. But then they go for it. I didn't hate the decision. I did hate that call. Why is A.J. Dillon on this team if he is not to be used in that spot? 4th-and-1 at the San Francisco 3. 1 yard to keep the drive going. You don't think he gets 1 yard? Really? Come on, man. Of course he does. So if you're going to go for it, you run it. You run it. They didn't. And then Myers with the bad snap. The timing was way off. Threw the whole thing off. Rodgers was clearly upset with him, which I don't mind Rodgers being harsh on him in that spot because it cost him points. And he was that way with Lindsley's rookie year too. And it made Lindsley better, and I predict it will make Myers better also. So I didn't like the decision, and then the whole operation was jumbled. It cost him points, but that could have cost him the game, those 3 points. Or if they had gotten a touchdown. So I didn't like that. Oh, the special teams. Aye, aye, aye. You know, I said last week on the show, I said, knock on wood, I think maybe Mo Drayton's group is going in the right direction. But I'm not going to say they are for sure, because as soon as I say that, something terrible will happen. They'll give up 7 kick returns for touchdowns. Not quite that bad, but that big return that they allowed after going up 17-0 late in the first half, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't give them any momentum. The special teams let him right back in. Luckily, Mason Crosby, there he is again, was able to barely push the returner out of bounds because he would have scored. Now, they scored anyways, but you know what I'm saying? Oh, the special teams, just when you think, never trust the special teams. Right, for years in Wisconsin, it was never trust the Bucks. The Bucks are NBA champions now, in case you forgot. You can trust the Bucks now, but you still can't trust the Packers special teams. You can't. Okay, that was bad. And then I talked about some of the defensive stuff. Here was one thing I didn't like, and I talked about this already with talking about the sequence when Adams got hit and should have been called. The Packers should have gotten the San Francisco should have been penalized on the helmet-to-helmet hit defenseless receiver. Rodgers goes deep on first down. Okay, I don't mind that. Devontae gets rocked. Then he goes deep on second down to MVS, way overshoots him. Third and 10. Adams comes back in. Rodgers goes kind of deep again and overshoots him fairly deep. Way too much home run chasing on that sequence. They went away. They did not get Aaron Jones the ball at all in that sequence when the offensive line was clearly starting to wear down San Francisco. They went away from Jones there, and it almost cost him the game. That was really bad. You know, thought they went a little too far. Jones had 14 touches in the first half, and he finished with 21 overall. So 14 touches in the first half and 7 in the second half. Look at the Packers offense. 17 points in the first half, 13 in the second. Not as good out, not, you know, close, but a little bit less in terms of points. And they went away from Jones. Just, they got to keep making him a focal point. Didn't like that. Thought they got away from the run too much, which probably is just going to be the way it is as long as Rodgers is there. But, you know, I think that's it. The special team stuff, the Myers snap, getting away from the run, the Packers. But I didn't think any of that was enough. Like, I still thought they deserved to win the game. So I'm glad that they did. It's a big win. Okay, 37 minutes in now. I told people to send some questions on Twitter, Facebook, email, whatever. And people did not disappoint. Well, I got a few anyways. It's late, you know, so anything anybody sends late, I appreciate. All right, these are from Twitter in no particular order. From Dave, @_Dave, and then a bunch of underscores. Stokes had obvious rookie mistakes, a phantom PI call. So all in all, he's got to be locked into starting from here on out. What did you see? Yeah, you know what, Dave? I agree. I mean, he had the one PI call in the end zone, which he can learn from that. That was, he was right to be called on that because he had his arm around the guy. He didn't need to, though. He already had pretty good positioning. If he just keeps that arm tucked and just gets his right arm out there, he probably knocks that ball down or at least makes it a lot tougher to catch. You know, he didn't, that was unnecessary for him to wrap his arm around the guy. Now, so that was their correct call, but he, you know, I think he can learn from that. The Phantom one I talked about was, it was, that was a joke. That was someone trying to keep San Francisco in the game. I don't care what anybody says. But you know what? You're right. He did some good things. He battled. He didn't let that pass interference call ruin, that second one ruin him for the night. He had the nice coverage on the, was it a second down pass? Yeah. I don't quite remember who it was to. But it was a second down pass on San Francisco's final drive that they, now they ended up scoring on the drive. But Stokes had a nice, did a nice job getting in there in coverage and knocking the ball away. So he kept battling, and I love that. And the things that he needs to correct, I think will be, I think they're correctable mistakes. I didn't see anything out of him. And I love that he kept battling. I love that he was aggressive and he was up at the line. And yeah, I think they got a player there. I agree with it. He needs to keep starting. He needs to keep starting for sure. Justin A. Cornwell, friend of the show at Justin A. Cornwell, says, just caught up because it took forever to get the kids to bed. Oh, I know what that's about. Let me just say, woo! Also, what an effort by the O-line. Just fantastic after the first drive. Yeah, I mean, I threw all the bouquets I can think to throw at the offensive line. They were awesome. Awesome tonight, you know? Really great stuff. I think it was the best offensive line. I think it was the best O-line effort of the year. And they did that without Bakhtiari or Jenkins. That's crazy. Crazy. And yeah, woo. I mean, I'm so geeked about this win. I didn't really have any expectations coming into this. I know a lot of people thought for sure they were going to get crushed. I certainly didn't think the matchup was great, especially when Jenkins was declared out. But, you know, as cliche as it is, when you've got Rodgers, you do have a chance. So I don't think I ever said anywhere that I thought for sure they were going to lose. It didn't look great, but I was like, who knows, maybe they will win. And they did. So, yeah. Woohoo. And then finally from Chris Clark at the Medusa Stair. Oh, this is a new brand. Chris has not written in before, so this is good. I like getting some new people involved. It was the Bears game in 2010 where Crosby made the tackle that, if not made, the Packers would have not gone to the Super Bowl, right? So when do we build the statue? Yeah, it was similar to that. Yeah, that's, you know, you bring that up. That's true. I do remember that now. When do we build? He's certainly going to get his name. He's certainly going to be in the Packer Hall of Fame. And I do almost wonder if he shouldn't get his name in the ring. Yeah, for all the big kicks he's made over the years and the fact that he's been so reliable and so consistent, I do kind of wonder if his name shouldn't, we shouldn't be thinking more about his name getting retired in the ring at Lambeau, which is a huge honor for a kicker. But I think Crosby might be worthy of that. Yeah, all the years he's played and all the clutch moments he's given us. Yeah, for sure. I think that's possible. So those are the Twitter questions. I do have a few emails. Couple emails. All right, we'll go. Kyle Terpenning, who refuses to get Twitter. Thank you, Kyle. Twitter was fun tonight. Mostly sucks, but it was fun tonight. That was a roller coaster. Where the hell do I even start? The amazing defense to start the game or their letdown in the second half? The brilliant Rodgers play almost all game or the refs? I choose the refs. I hope they... My voice is cracking. I hope they are fired or are forced to be retrained. They were horrid. Still, it feels good to get the California monkey off our back against a good team. I do have some questions, though. For one, why do we have Dylan and his ungodly powerful tree trunk legs if we're not going to use them in very short yardage situations? And also, any idea why the Packers front office has never put a premium on linebackers and the defensive line? I can't understand why they have ignored the run defense. It wasn't a major problem tonight, but then again, the Niners were depleted at the running back position. Number one in the North, baby. Go Pack, go. Okay, so... yeah, the refs were bad. Yeah. I mean, I talked about it at length. It was really a pathetic performance from that crew. And I hope that they are reprimanded in some way, because they should be. Because it was... I mean, they almost cost the Packers a game. It was terrible. Why did they... You know, I talked about that already with Dylan. I don't know why they don't use him more. I got... How many... What did he finish with tonight? I didn't even look. 6 carries for 18 yards, and he caught 2 passes for 8 yards. 8 touches. I thought he maybe should have touched the ball a little more, just because in a game like this, it's kind of a street... It's a physical... You know, I talked about a strong man game, a tough man game. I thought Dylan was kind of... The Packers don't have a lot of, you know... We don't have a lot of weapons we can bring to a fight like that, but I thought he was. Thought he probably should have been involved a little more. Certainly in that short yardage situation, I agree. I don't know why he didn't get the ball. I don't understand it. I think we have to just kind of come... We have to accept that they're not going to run the ball as much as we want until Rodgers isn't there anymore. I said that on Twitter tonight, too. I think that's just... We have to accept that, unfortunately. And I hate it, because I'd love them to run the ball more, too, because they got good backs. Why have they never put a premium on linebackers in the defensive line? You know, I've talked about that on the show multiple times, going back to the team preview. I don't know why they don't. Now, that allows me to talk about Campbell, though, because I actually think Campbell, my guy, Sky Uma, he had, what, 13 tackles last week, 12 tonight. He recovered the fumble when Jimmy G pooped himself with Kenny Clark bearing down on him, which I don't blame him. I probably pooped myself, too. He threw that ball backwards and Campbell ran it down and recovered it. So they might have gotten lucky, because I think Campbell, you know, they kind of, it was kind of their traditional try to scrape by with a veteran on the cheap, but it looks like that move might be, that might pay off. Why have they ignored it? I don't know. They don't care about the inside linebacker spot. They just don't. you know, other than they what Ted drafted Abdul Hodge once upon a time, and Goot drafted Oren Burks. What, Burks was a third round pick. Other than that, no, they haven't really cared. It's been kind of scraping by with late round picks and veterans on the cheap. Although, again, I think they might have hit on something with Campbell. The D-line one is mystifying. You know, you get what you pay for. They used a premium pick on Kenny Clark, and he's one of the best D-linemen in the game. They haven't used any other premium picks or any money free agent-wise on it, and that's, you get this group. Although, again, they played very well tonight. Props to the defensive line. I don't know why they've ignored it. I wish they wouldn't. It drives me crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, that's. I hope I answered your questions on that, Kyle. And then we have Kyle, who used to have Twitter, writing in this week. Says, screw the Zebras. Big dub despite everything. Big spike in blood pressure for me. Gritty game from the O-line. Maybe an unpopular opinion, but Stokes outplayed Jair tonight. Let's fucking go. Go, Paco. Yeah, screw the Zebras. Yeah, obligatory, of course. Yeah, it was a huge win. My blood pressure was definitely rising. Because the Packers were really kind of ahead. I mean, they were in control, and then they weren't as in control, but they were ahead. It never really felt like they were going to lose, and then San Francisco took the lead, and then all the questionable calls, and then they take the lead, and you're like, oh, man, are they going to lose? So it was a great win. Yeah, gritty game. Talked a lot about the O-line. Agree with you there. Interesting opinion on Stokes outplaying Jair tonight. I definitely think Jair gave up more completions than we're used to seeing. His coverage on the one touchdown, which I talked about, was not very good. He had some good coverage on some other plays, but the guys just made nice plays for San Francisco. But I don't know if Stokes outplayed him, but I would say Stokes played as well. Yeah, I think he overall played as well as Jair did. Yeah. You won't see Jair have many games like that. No. But it was not 23's best ever tonight, although his interception, again, was awesome. I don't know if I'd say outplayed, but I'd say played as well as, which is a good thing for the Packers going forward, because Jair's going to not have any games like that, and hopefully Stokes gets better. And then I do have one last question or comment from my former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host Gene Bosling, who asks simply, why do the Packers get all the calls? Yeah, tonight should be for any dopes out there who are like, the Packers win because they get all the calls. The Packers get all the calls. Did you know that? Any dope who says that should not be saying that after. If they're saying that tonight, after tonight, then they're stupid. They're really stupid. Because the Packers don't get, you know, some of the calls on the 49ers, I mean, I actually thought those were all straight up calls. I thought when the refs gave the Packers all those offensive, or those DPIs that gave the Packers first down, I think was it, they had three of those go on third downs for the offense. I thought those were all the right calls, and I'm not trying to be a homer, but those all looked like clear pass interferences to me. And certainly not all the Packers penalties were shady, but there were way more shady penalties called on Green Bay than there were San Francisco. So yeah, anybody who's like, yeah, the Packers get all the calls, shut up. They don't. Quiet. So that's everybody who wrote in. 48 minutes now, man. But this was a good win, right? This was a great win. I can go a little long. Big picture time, 48 minutes in. Again, the Packers needed to prove to themselves that they could go into San Francisco, play San Francisco style, even if not fully, play it at least enough and win. And they did that tonight. They went into San Francisco down from injuries and battled, even when things didn't go well with the officials or the players, drop passes, bad special teams play, whatever. They kept battling. They didn't fold, and they got a big win. A signature win, and a win that they can carry forward with them for the rest of the season. It's 3 weeks in. It's important to put this in perspective. A lot of football to be played. But it's also important to say the Packers learned something about themselves tonight that, again, they can carry forward with them throughout the season, and that is a very good thing. Okay, so that just about wraps up this episode of Lemp's Talking Pack. This has been a blast. Did the scriptless format? That felt okay, right? That didn't seem too choppy. We look ahead now. The Packers return to action next week. They will be at home. I want to get the time right on this because I don't... They'll be at home to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. That game will be on CBS at 3:25 p.m. Lambeau time. The Steelers, they lost today to the Bengals, right? What are they? I actually don't even know what they're... They're 1-2, right? This is fucking scintillating listening, I'm sure. Yeah, they're 1-2, and certainly Roethlisberger, there have been some questions. Is he maybe looking a little bit washed? Are these the great Steelers teams that we remember? We will find out next week. Should be another interesting test for the Packers. Hopefully they can avoid any kind of letdown. Hopefully being back at Lambeau in front of the home crowd will help that. So we'll see that again next Sunday afternoon, 3:25 p.m. And I'll be back after that one, win, lose, or draw, to recap it. Probably won't hear it Sunday night. Probably you'll hear it Monday morning. Keep an eye out for that. Of course, I'll keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talking Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Savor every second of this win because it was fucking great. Stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack, go.